God. If he's still roaring in you, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'll tell you right now, if you've been paying attention, I started talking a little bit about last week, you know, how we, when I declared that this church is going to grow. And when I say grow, I mean that wall's rested coming out, the center's done, all the rooms are filled with kids and with people. Amen?
Amen.
Because God's not dead. Okay? The devil, ever since I declared that, whoop, I about fell off the steps. It's been nearly 14 years and I haven't done it yet. Ever since I declared that, I want you to look around in your life and in the life of people in the church that you see and look at the stupid things that are happening. Your healing took longer. Recovery took longer. Praise God, it's good to see you here. Rob, for crying out loud, appendix burst. Shouldn't be here. They said, his body built a wall. We know what that wall was. That was the hand of God.
Yes.
Joshua's transmission drops out of his truck. Our well decides to finally not pump any more water. We pulled it out, and you know what happened? The pipe came off. Stupid stuff. The devil doesn't like it when we begin to speak life. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I know there's all kinds of things. All of you have, why did this happen? It's because we have spoken life that lines up with the word of God and the devil doesn't like it. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care. We're not here to please men. We're not here for an entertainment value. We're here to worship our Creator, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what this earth was like when God spoke to it? Can you imagine the demonic powers that Lucifer was running around? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? How am I going to stop the will of God? Well, we know how he got to them. But I'm here to tell you, folks, God's plan is not going to stop. He already took all those contingencies into factor. He had already, in his mind, and already probably talked to Jesus, and said, will you go when it's time? He said, yes. The Bible says he was slain from the foundations of the world. So what I want to remind you today, when the devil tries to get you to just be quiet, don't. You got to roar. There is a lion inside of you. You've got a fire building up inside of you. You know, people that get burned, you know what they usually do? They yell. Woo-hoo-hoo! You know, the other night I was cooking hamburgers on the grill, and you know, that thing got really hot. And I had my hands full, and I touched that top. Oh, boy, that hurt for several hours. But I'm here to tell you, you jerk, you move, you do something. Man, when we got something wrong, you want to move? Start moving. You want to take a walk? Take a walk. Whatever. Now, like I said, we don't need no mosh pits. Okay, my last one, I got a concussion. They're not that fun. But what God is doing, the devil wants to stop. Because I'm not even going to call it a revival. I almost despise the word revival anymore, because what it connotates is people running to one city and making millionaires out of all the preachers. I ain't got a problem with preachers being millionaires, seeing how I'm one. But I do have a problem when you ain't doing the work you're supposed to be doing. I want a move of God. A move doesn't stop. I want a revolution. Something I watched on, I think it was called Under Siege. Anybody remember the movie? Steven Seagal, Tommy Lee Jones. And he said, this is a revolution, baby. A revolution doesn't stop. It just keeps going. The problem with America is we stopped. And we've let people come in and tell us, well, you know, you need to do this. You need to take care of us. We don't need to work. We need abortion. Am I the only one that wasn't surprised that Epstein's dead? If you ain't paid attention, read your news. I was laying there and said, Lord, how about some justice? We need some justice in this country. From the top to the bottom. We need a revolution. We need a movement of God that brings fire back into D.C. I don't want just a revival where people are rolling on the floor laughing and whatever. That's all fine and dandy for its time. I want one where people's hearts are submitted to God, where they're broken and they repent. Genuine repentance in this country. I don't care if you like that president or not. That's the president we needed. That's all there is to it. When God told me he was going to be the president, I said, all right, that's who I'm voting for. You can ask her. I told her before he even announced he was running. She may not remember. We have these conversations both ways. But God wants us to know he hasn't forgotten us. So don't think that he's forgotten you. Your situation, the devil is trying to stop what's happening. God's moving on me to do some changing. I've started the processes of the changes. And the devil is attacking. So don't back off. Remember, locate, close with, and destroy the enemy by fire and maneuver. Or repel the enemy's assault by fire and close combat. When he attacks, don't back off. It's close combat. It don't matter if you run. Feel free to run. Here's the, they got this saying, you know, I read all these memes from, I got 1775 Brotherhood, Marine, whatever. If it's Marine, it's on my Facebook. And it says, you can run, you'll just die tired. Why run? I'm not going to die. I'm going to stand and fight. And if God's on my side, God's my lion. See, he is the lion, but everybody quotes Peter, the devil roams about as a lion. Anybody pay attention to that? He didn't say the devil was a lion. He said he's imitating a lion. He's Sylvester Puttycat trying to be Simba. Or Mufasa. I don't care. Take your pick. Do not let the circumstances of the day dictate your faith walk. Amen. Well, let's pray and bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this glorious day. Father, it is glorious because Jesus has risen and he is on the throne. Father, we thank you and praise you. That in all the things that are happening, you are moving to our good in these things. Father, you are opening the opportunities for blessing, for advancement. Father, I thank you and praise you that your hand was upon my friend. Lord, I thank you that poison didn't get in his body. Lord, I thank you and praise you right now for what you're doing in his life and in each and every life of every believer in here today. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and offering. We pray that you receive it as a sweet aroma in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. You know, folks, what I just prayed there about, the Bible says he works all things together to the good of those who love him, right? All things. What the devil means to come and destroy us, God will turn it and use it as a blessing. I'm going to share two things real quick because these are two things I know about. One is, you know, Joshua's truck when the transmission went out. He was not looking forward to that transmission. It's not a cheap transmission. It's an Allison automatic. They put these in big trucks. And his truck just stopped. And then they figured out what was wrong. But let me tell you what God had started to do. I said, he'll work it out to your good to be a blessing, right? God worked that out, that there was another transmission laying at work where he works that was actually a heavier duty transmission with, what, 10,000 miles maybe? Less than 10,000 miles on this transmission. This is a heavy duty transmission. This thing comes out of a bigger truck. But he was able to take parts off of his to make and made it and put it up in his truck. So now his truck has actually got the bigger transmission and a heavier duty than what his heavy duty was. Our well, when we got up the other morning, she's like, there's no water. Y'all, I've been through this 3 times now. My heart sinks every time I hear it. My heart sinks every time the toilet starts to have a little air in the bubble in it. I'm like, no, Lord, I don't want to drill another well. I told you, we started pulling that pipe up out of there. I pulled that first section off. I'm like, there's supposed to be more. Pulled it on out. We reached down, got the rest of it out. The glue had come undone. The glue let go. I had the guy go ahead and he's there. He's set up. I said, let's go ahead and get it checked. I said, we got to make sure there's no stone. With all the rain we've had, I want to make sure there's no stone. You need to understand something. Well, the relief I had when he dropped that baler down in that hole, pulled it up. I slid it over there and released it. And a tiny little handful of rocks is all that came out. The last couple times he did that, 5 or 6 times, there was rocks and mud and sand. This time, it was just rocks. After that, there wasn't one rock that came out. It was all water. I need you to understand the peace that brought me, knowing my well's okay. And if you're wondering, my well's only 28 feet deep. I think Richard's got one that's about 160. I can't imagine pulling that much pipe out of the ground. That's the way you got to do it. So they can pull it up with their rigs. But what the devil was trying to do for evil, God brought peace. We fixed the problem, got it back in. We had water. The devil is going to fight because he knows he's on his way out. Most of us in here was around in 1990. Do you remember what happened when Saddam Hussein ran out of Kuwait? He lit the oil fields on fire. We've all seen the pictures, right? You may know a vet or two that's dealing with the consequences of that. He was scared. And he started making other problems so he could get away. That's what the devil is in. He's in scared mode. He's running away from us. Because what I'm going to tell you is, he knows we have not backed down in this community for God's love for all people. We have not backed down against the drug trade. We have not backed down against injustice. We have prayed for Israel. We have prayed for our leaders. Whether we voted for them or not, we have blessed them because that's what the Bible tells us to do. We do not have anything like Peter had. He had Caligula. That's who he had. The man who made his horse a senator. I think we've had a few horses made senators now. But the devil is trying to stop what God wants to do. I believe Ohio is the heart of it all, more than just a catchy phrase. I believe God wants to move in this land, and he's going to. And it's not going to be something that people can say, well, I did it. You're either going to submit to receive what God has, or you're not getting it. I want the movement. Last week when Angela and I were at the pastor's conference, Rod Parsley got up and he said, you know, I kid you not, you can ask her. He harped on things I've been harping on. So I'm like, I'm in good company, I guess. people saying they're saved and there's no change. You said a prayer, right? That's not what the Bible says that makes us saved or born again. Churches, quit preaching being born again. Come in. I want you to come as you are. You come. There's people, I've heard them joke, well, if I go in that church, I'll burst into flames. Oh, trust me, I had a Satanist in here. We had a Wiccan in here. He didn't burst into flames. His eyes went black. They were black as coal. I was like, oh. I saw that before too, on Shark Tale. Just before the great white tried to eat everybody. Couldn't have told you his eyes were blue. But he didn't burst into flames. The church has done itself one a disservice by trying to clean everybody before they got him in. I like the meme on Facebook. It says, church is like a hospital. It's for the sick and the hurting. Rob's not in the hospital because he feels 100% perfect. He was feeling like dookie. And they finally figured it out. But people are in hospitals because they need to be there. You go to a doctor because you need it. You come to church because you need it. I love what Maggie told somebody. I don't have to go to church. I want to go to church. Huge difference. Huge difference. When you want to do something, you're excited about it. I love seeing my wife. I'm excited about her. When I worked, I couldn't wait to get home. When I was in the Marine Corps, I would drive back home to see her. And come flying into the parking lot before formation. Just before formation. We're in a day and age where people are being told, you're okay as you are. Listen, abortion is not okay. God is not good with it. I told you before, we had some visitors here one day, and I said, y'all remember when I said, if you think abortion is okay, there's the door. Don't come back. Well, they've never been back. I don't know that they were, but I could see the shock on their face. And by the way, just so you know, if you think I'm shocking, there's some other shocking preachers around telling the truth the way it's supposed to be. Homosexuality. Well, God doesn't care. Well, if he didn't, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah a huge debt of apology. And then, oh, wait a minute. I think Paul said that homosexuals will not have any part of the kingdom of heaven. No inheritance. Oh, by the way, while we're on that, liars, adulterers, fornicators. Yeah, there's a whole list of things. Drunkards, all of this. This is in there. The church is like, well, let's just do whatever we want, whatever feels good. No, that's not being born again. That is not the called out ones. That is what church is. It's ecclesiastical something. I just put it there. It's a Greek word. It means the called out ones. Separate. When we walk out, they should know we're Christians, not because of the gigantic cross we got hanging around our neck, but because of a lifestyle. Not because we look at you, you slut. I see you wearing your clothes, your outfit of shame. You know what that is? That's the same clothes you were wearing yesterday. Because you stayed at somebody else's house. The church is not called to judge. The church is called to love. It's called to bring the word of God. It's called to change people, to grow them up, to mature them. That is the purpose. You can't send Boy Scouts into a battlefield. Those Boy Scouts have to go to boot camp. They have to go from being Boy Scouts to men. They've got to grow up. But when we tell people, come and stay as you are, we don't want to rock the boat. We got a program for you. Programs are all fine and dandy if they have a real purpose. Well, I think the church needs a baseball league. No, we don't. We've got a baseball league. How about we get some of the coaches saved? We got saved guys in here now who are coaching. We got several people in here who coach. I don't need to start a football league or volleyball or whatever. We don't need to do that stuff. We need to preach. We need to love. We need to worship God. When we come in worship, that's why I've told you folks, if you're not here worshiping, you miss the most important part. That's plowing the ground. Well, why is the word not happening in my life? Because your ground is hard and compacted. Your heart is hard. If you've ever seen the giant rippers on the back of a D10 dozer, they're huge. I mean, they're solid steel and about that big around at the tip. And they dig those things down in that ground and they pull. And I've watched on Gold Rush where they break them. The ground is that hard. Those things are awesome in power, but when you can stop a D10 dozer and make the front end come up and break the ripper, your ground is too hard. That's when they start bringing in dynamite. You don't want God to have to bring in dynamite. Feel free to come and worship the Lord. Open the ground up yourself. It's so much easier. Let the word has got to get into the ground in order to take root. It can't come up. Well, that was a great service, Pastor. Highly motivational. I'm not here to motivate you. I don't care about your motivation level. We're not in motivation mode right now. We're in got to build. A friend of mine the other day on Facebook put on there, it was back in towards the end of July. He said, it was 30 years ago today, I went to boot camp. I remember him. We were actually the lay readers. I was the Protestant. He was the Catholic. I'm praying for him to get saved. But what we remember was the first month or so, they tore us down. We couldn't do anything right. Anybody that's ever been in there, you know what I'm talking about. Any branch. You can't tie your shoes right. You can't blow your nose right. You don't know anything. You are really stupid. And they make sure you know that. But after they've got you down and they broke all your defenses down. They broke your walls. They start smoothing things out. The last couple weeks, they start building you up. They start coming up with things to motivate us. And they build us up. That's what God does. But the church just stuck with the building up part. There's no foundation. People are coming in with ideologies that are garbage. Thought processes. Well, this is how it works in the old church is dying. It rejected the Holy Spirit. When you reject the Holy Spirit, you reject the presence of God. And you have no revelation of the Word. Anybody, how do they get a revelation of the Word? They don't have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit reveals the Word. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, this is Nicodemus he's talking to, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Now that's a new word, isn't it? No, it's been around at least 2,000 years. born again. The word again comes from a Greek word that could also mean from above. Unless you are born from above, the spiritual. Now we know where Nicodemus goes with this, right? Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And all the women just cringed. No, you cannot. Nicodemus was thinking solely fleshly. That's all he was thinking. He was not thinking the spiritual matters which Jesus was coming to deal with. By the way, you want to start dealing with all these problems around us? Start dealing with the spiritual forces behind them first. Unless a man first binds the strong man, he cannot go in and clean his house. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Born of water, it could mean born naturally. Seeing how they're really, you are born of water. Last time I checked. Oh, my water broke, right? So you're born of water. Two, born of the Spirit. That's being born again. Why? Why does God care about our spirit? Because that's us. That is really who we are. We are a spirit. This is a flesh and blood body, and we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion, our heart. But by the way, what you believe in your heart is what will dictate how you act. Now, we have to be born of the Spirit. The first thing we have to do is confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? That's what the Bible tells us. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Why Lord? Anybody ever rented? What did you call the guy that owned the place? Or the person who owned the place? Landlord. Why? Why did you call them Lord? Because they could tell you what you could and could not do to that house. Right? They owned it. When Jesus is your Lord, he owns you. Well, I ain't going to be owned by anybody. Oh, you blessed, you poor wretch. You don't get it. You are owned one way or the other. You serve God, or you serve mammon, the god of this world, which is self. It seeks its own desires. Well, I just want to go out and have fun. That's fun while you're partying. You know, by the way, that there's a song, I forget what group, I think it was a song, or it was a rock group that said it. I'd rather party in hell with my friends than to serve in heaven on my knees. You know what? They got another thing coming. There ain't no party happening in hell. The demons won't even be happy and partying. They aren't tormenting you. They are being tormented. And why are they being tormented? Because of the knowledge that they didn't have to be there. Talk about regret. You didn't have to go. We're not talking about buying insurance on a plan that you realized, I didn't need that. I just wasted $200. We're talking about eternity because you didn't want to make Jesus your Lord. You didn't want to confess. The Bible tells us to confess. Written word is okay. You need to understand that. But in God's kingdom, written word is... Written word is useless because it's not doing anything. Well, Pastor, you said the word of God is useless in written form. What did God do in Genesis? And God said, he put the word of God out into action. just like I did several weeks ago. The devil heard it. The devil don't want this body growing. He's done everything he can. We're still here. I'm too dumb to quit. I ain't saying I ain't wanted to a few times. I'm just saying I'm too dumb. And that ain't a bad thing. I always liked Rosalie's grandson. After he came back from the Air Force, he said he learned a little acronym about Marines. Muscles are required, intelligence not expected. I can vouch for that, just so you know. Marines ain't the sharpest, or they weren't. They've had to change. But you and I have got to be born again. That starts with confessing with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord. Well, I said it quietly. What are you ashamed of? Well, I don't want to draw attention. I would rather draw attention now than screaming on my way to hell. No, no, don't let them take me. I've heard that. You know how useless I felt? Now, I ain't saying that person went to hell. I don't know. I know they were on some serious painkillers, so it's hard to tell what they were seeing. But what I do know, I don't want to be the one screaming, no. Jesus is my Lord. I confess that. It is a fact and it is the truth. He is the Lord of this church. The second thing, we have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And if we do that, we shall be saved. Saved, as in the same word that they used to describe Noah and his family from judgment. God provided a way and took them out of judgment and put them in safety. The hard thing, folks, I think from Noah would have been to have known that he preached for 120 years. He preached to those people that were outside begging to be let in. We believe you now. There's no second chances. Believe. An unwavering. It's an unwavering belief. It's firm. Nobody is moving you. Here, let me help you out. I believe I am a man. Genetically. You're not changing my mind. I'm not pan, I'm not tri, I'm not whatever. I am a man, heterosexual man. I may be getting boobs now. I didn't mean to offend you, but there are some things that are kind of, they're not where they used to be. Oh, come on. Your Bible talks about breasts all the time. If you ain't looked at it, it's in the Song of Solomon. Whew, yeah. You ought to be up here. It's a little warm. But every man knows what I'm talking about. We are men. Well, you know, brother, you know, here's what we've talked about this in our family from time to time. We see somebody on TV or whatever, and they're straight, but they are not very masculine. Anybody run into guys? They're totally straight. But you know what? I've been around Christians. They're gay. No, they're not. They are straight. They just aren't violent like me. Did Just because somebody isn't just like you doesn't mean they're totally wrong. You might be the one that's wrong. You might be what's wrong. If we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we can't back down on it, folks. This is the basis of our faith, is salvation in Jesus Christ. When we quit teaching that, what are we teaching? Oh, come in and come through our class. We'll teach you how to be a Christian. The Bible doesn't have to tell you to be a good person. By the way, that's not the purpose of the Bible. If you aren't a good person anyhow, you're a jerk. I cleaned that one up for you. There's a few other words that come to mind. I need you to understand the Bible isn't about making you try to be a good person. Whether you're saved or not, you should always reach out and help somebody. Help the poor. Help the elderly. The widows, the orphans. Does that sound familiar?
Well, I don't need to do that. I'm already doing that. I don't need Jesus Christ.
You missed the point. Salvation isn't about being a good person. Oh, by the way, you do need to change. You can come in a jerk, but you don't have to leave a jerk. You know what this thing's called? Altar. Feel free to use it. Praise and worship isn't just for running and shouting. I've seen people up here before, crying, weeping, letting God move in them. We don't teach this anymore. Why? Because we're worried about what people think. Well, you know, Pastor, you'd catch a lot more flies with honey. I don't want to catch flies. I want the bears. If we will preach and understand, first off, what the church has got to understand what salvation is. And yes, you can piddle it away. You can turn your back from it. A lot of people teach that there comes a point where you do totally walk away. You, in your heart, quit believing. Okay? I'm not saying that you're saved forever. When you quit believing that God raised Jesus from the dead and that God doesn't exist, that's when you've backslid and you're no longer saved. I was still saved in being a jackwagon. I still believed in Jesus Christ. And I honestly do not believe that for 1 minute, had I died, that God would have, he'd had some good questions for me, but he knew why I was where I was at. He's the one that told me about the scars. Because of religion. Religion teaches us all things to control us. You know, Jesus never tried to control anybody. The madman, we talked about him last week, madman of the Gadarenes, remember? Jesus, what have I to do with you? After Jesus cast out the multitude of demons out of the man, he was in his right mind, combed his hair, shaved, brushed his teeth, sitting there with some skivvies on, and he said, Master, I want to follow you and preach. Jesus didn't want him to do that. He said, I want you to go and preach. Think about it. He got cleaned up. The church keeps bringing people in, but they go out the exact same. If we aren't changed, there's a problem. And I blame it right here at the pulpit. Because people are more worried about teaching you how to be rich. Well, if you go to hell rich, you still go to hell. If you go to heaven rich, you still go to heaven. Rich or poor, it don't matter. Now, as Paul said, I have abounded and I have done without. And I have found it is much better to abound. Can I get an amen out of that? It's nice to be able to pay your bills, isn't it? But God didn't preach a gospel so that we could all be rich. Full gospel, the whole thing. I don't want to just be rich, pay my bills, be able to bless other people, that kind of thing. I want to walk down the street and have demons come running out of buildings saying, "What have we to do with you? That the power of God is in my life that much. That when I walk by somebody who's sick, they get healed." How about that? How about that back in the gospel? How about that back into preaching? I heard, it was Rod Percy that talked about the specialized preaching, wasn't it? I think it was. It was Rod. He said, everybody's a specialist now. They got a specialty on what they preach on, and that's the only thing they know. They don't know the rest of it. He said, when he was a young preacher, Lester Summerall told him, he said, do not become a specialized preacher. Jesus wasn't specialized. Man, he hid everything. He talked to everyone.
Well, I ain't going to talk to that woman. Everybody knows she's loose.
Well, yeah, Jesus knew it too. And he told her. Matter of fact, he told her to get him a drink of water, which was a no-no for the Jews. He didn't care about tradition. Now, he did it in public. He didn't go to her house and say, hey, would you give me a glass of water? That's where preachers get in trouble. I love you, but if there ain't another body there, I ain't coming. Don't care. Just not. It ain't worth it. We've already had incidents before where people saw me out with somebody else. Who's that? It's my sister. Let's put this one to bed now. It's my sister. We're on five. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's pretty simple, right? Anybody not get that? The things of God are of God. They aren't of the flesh. Do not marvel, I said this to you, that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. The next set of passages on down. Anybody, does John 3 ring a bell to anybody? John 3. What else? There we go. 16. We all know it, right? I hope. If not, there's your homework assignment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Back up. Believe. Firm. Not wavering. Not moving. You cannot. Well, I believe Jesus. Oh, man. Is there a God? You need to get saved. Really. I mean, we joke about it at home. And especially when we're with one of the boys' friends. I say, yeah, their pastor needs to get saved. And you know, I always joke with people. And my wife wishes I'd get saved. But that's joking. Okay, I am saved. If you aren't for sure, Jesus is my Lord. God raised him from the dead. I will lay hands on you and cast out demons in the name of Jesus. How's that? But the problem today, we love that scripture. For God so loved that he gave. It shows up at ball games. It shows up at concerts. Weird places sometimes. That's great. Let's remember that love did something. Right? Love did something. Love gave. Something precious. Well, Pastor, I can't do that. I just don't have the time. My time is precious. Well, we just found out what you need to give up. Something you said you ain't got any of because it's too precious. You do know God only had one son, right? One. One begotten son. The angels were called the sons of God, but he had one begotten son. Why did he give up one begotten son? So that he might have more sons. He gave Jesus as a seed. When you give your time, I'm just using that as an example. When you give your time, do you think the timekeeper can't make things happen? The one who made the sun stand still over Gibeon? Do you think that one can do something with time? I think he can. Well, there's just not enough of me. Well, you know what? That's been my whiny point. God, there's just not enough of me. I can't do all this stuff, and I can't. So I started things today. As of today, Tim's going to be heading up maintenance. We're going to be doing it hand in hand for a little bit. Then I'm just going to let him fly. I can't do it all. Because my call is where? And if I'm not there, then I'm missing my call. And I'm just wearing myself down. There's other things I'm letting go. The devil's trying to kill people. Makes me very mad. You don't do that. You don't touch my friends. I like the Godfather movies. They have a sense of loyalty. And when you cross that loyalty, am I the only one that thinks it's funny that it's God the Father? Godfather? Father God? But ladies and gentlemen, verse 17 is just as important as 16. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Not to condemn us. You need to understand something. Condemnation and conviction are two different things. Condemnation, I tried to explain this before. Condemnation is chains that will forever link you to that. Y'all remember the prison balls? You're forever. That's condemnation. You are condemned. You are marked. You will always pull that ball around with you in that chain. And no, it's not your wife, men. Just getting that out there. That's condemnation. Conviction. Oh, I did something wrong. Something I shouldn't have. I need to repent of that. I need to fix what's wrong. Condemnation will attach you to that rock and make you drag it around forever. There is no condemnation, but the Holy Spirit will convict us of when we are wrong. The Bible tells us if we know to do good and we don't do it, we've sinned. That's why I laugh when people say, I ain't got no sin. Want to bet? Romans says you do. We've all sinned. Well, I've never done anything. If you knew to do good and you didn't do it, then you did wrong. You sinned. Sin is sin. That's why we just got to get back to understanding. Sin is sin. We put these, well, this sin is worse than this sin, and this sin is, you know, it's the epitome of all sins. Let's be real. What sent mankind into sin? Eating an apple. What was wrong with that? On the surface, nothing, except they took what belonged to God. He said, don't touch that apple. That's mine. And yes, the Jews believe it was an apple. That's where we get that from. It's kind of funny, isn't it, though? Because an apple is one of the most perfect fruits. That's where we get the saying, eat an apple a day keeps a doctor away. Eat two apples and you'll be in bathroom all day. I was a kid and we had apple trees, green apples, green grapes. Woohoo! And there was three of us that was eating them, so you'd see a constant line. Get out of there! Go to the cornfield! No, you! We got to be saved. Today, people aren't getting born again. Being born again means that you are transforming your mind. Romans 12 tells us to transform your mind. That means it's being changed. If you're thinking you're an okay person, you're so wrong. Well, you're going to have to take me the way I am. My last post on Facebook, I don't post a whole lot. Y'all know that. But when I do, I want you to read it. Find my last post. Some of you have seen it. I know Vicky shared it. If you're friends with Vicky, hit her up. It's on there. It's about changing. It's really good. It preaches. It says it all. If you don't want to change, you ain't going to be here long, I can promise you. I want to change. I didn't go to Paris Island to come back the same old boy I was. Which, by the way, I found some pictures. I was 22. I looked at that picture and, well, Brooke, our niece, you know, she got her kids back. She was this tall. And I looked at that and I said, look at how skinny my brother-in-law was. And my boys looked at me and said, Dad, look at you. I looked at that. I was like, how did anybody take me serious? I was a corporal. I had arms about that big around. I looked like a little boy. Yeah, I was. Looking back, absolutely. I thought I had arrived. Had so much to learn. So much to grow. And to change. For me, one of the things is letting go of things. I'm not a hoarder, but you can ask my wife. I do have that superpower of holding on to something for years and then needing it 2 days after I threw it away. And now that I've got a barn, I don't have to throw it away as much. Unfortunately, it's getting full. But for us to be born again, folks, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I need you to understand, you can confess it now while you are willingly confessing it, or you will confess it later, and it won't count. Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. I think I'd rather do it now. I think I'd rather confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I think I would rather believe that God raised him from the dead now. Because that means I can change the outcome of my life. So many people are wanting to change their outcome and the way their life is right now, but they don't want to change. They want things to change, but they don't want to change. If you want something to change, you got to do something different, right? You keep tripping over a branch or a root in your yard, What do you do about it? You change something. Bring in more dirt, cover the root. You got to change something. You got to do something. You want things changed in your life? You got to do something. How do you do that? You start with making Jesus your Lord. I think I'd rather have the guy who created this body be its Lord than the one who's perverting it. Amen? All right, let's stand. All right, real quick, every head bowed, every eye closed. I talked about being born again. If you've been living a life that is contrary to Jesus being your Lord, you want things to start changing, you got to start here. You got to be born again. You can't say, well, things will get better. They will never get better. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's it. If you want your life to begin to change, you got to start here. If that's you, I want you to just slip your hand up. Okay? Okay? They always say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. Without Jesus as your Lord, you're not gonna overcome anything. Okay. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I receive what Jesus has done. I believe you raised him on the third day from the dead. And now I make him my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I will serve him. I receive your love. I receive your mercy. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now listen. You are saved. Unless you walk out of here tomorrow and say, Jesus is dead, you're saved. Okay? And you need to tell yourself that every day until you have gotten it. For many, many, many weeks, I couldn't believe where I was in 1989. Am I really here? I'm in South Carolina. I am here. I'm really doing this. There's a change. And if you will let this change take place, it's permanent. It will be forever. But you have got to make it, and you've got to get in your Bible. I believe everybody in here has got one. If not, I think we still have some free ones back here in the bookstore or in the library. I promise you, after reading one of those little ones, you will want to go buy a good one. They are tiny print, and I'm already wearing glasses. But understand this. Jesus has to be your Lord. If he is not your Lord, what are you doing with your life? You're searching for something. You looking for peace? Well, if you don't have Jesus, you ain't going to have peace. You looking for love? God is love. Well, I'm looking for a companion. Yeah. How about get God first in your life and let him bring you the companion that you need? See, the girl I thought I needed wasn't who I needed. I needed her. That other girl wasn't what I needed. This one's kept me in line. The other one would have led me astray further. And trust me, it's a 24-hour-a-day job for her to keep me straight. All right. I'm going to bless you, and we're going to dismiss. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you for those who have raised their hand to make this commitment to you, to make you their Lord. Father, I pray right now that you begin to solidify it. Fill their hearts with your love, Father. Surround them, Father. And Lord, I pray that every time they read your word, they get a revelation of who you are. Start in John. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in people's lives today, Father, that our hearts will all begin to burn for people to be saved. Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this body, what you're doing in this village, what you're doing in this county, what you're doing in this state, Father God, that when it happens here, it will go across this country, not as a revival that blows in and blows out, but as a move that comes in and changes the very molecular structure of everything that was wrong. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for these people today. Lord God, I bless them. Father, we pray that you continue with your hand upon our brother Rob. Father, we thank you for preserving his life. Lord, I thank you and praise you that he's going to have no repercussions from any of this, and he will recover quickly in Jesus' name. Amen.